like a wet hairball of literature heft up from the gullet of the internet. Nonproductive is a shame to present. Jeff the Killer.
Excerpt from a local newspaper. Ominous unknown killer is still at large. After weeks of unexplained murders, the ominous unknown killer is still on the rise. After little evidence has been found, a young boy states that he survived one of the killer's attacks and bravely tells his story.
I had a bad dream, and I woke up in the middle of the night. I saw for some reason the window was open, even though I remember it being closed before I went to bed. I got up and shut it once more. Afterwards, I simply crawled under my covers and tried to get back to sleep. That's when I had a strange feeling, like someone was watching me. I looked up and nearly jumped out of my bed. There, in the little ray of light, illuminating from between my curtains, were a pair of two eyes.
Wait, hold on a second. A pair of two eyes?
Yeah.
So a grand total of four eyes were staring at you?
I don't understand what you...
Because a pair of two...
No.
So in the illuminated in between your curtains, you saw...
I saw a pair of two eyes.
A pair of two eyes. Good. Yeah, no, yeah. Continue, please.
Yeah, there was a pair of two eyes. And these weren't regular eyes. They were dark, ominous eyes.
Well, they weren't regular eyes at all. There were four of them.
Well, there was a pair of two. Mm. They were bordered in black and just plain out terrified me.
Question.
Yes.
It plain out terrified you?
Yes, it did. It did. I was plain out terrified.
I see. Is this a regional dialect that you have?
It was plain out terrifying, and that's when I saw his mouth. A long, horrendous smile that made every hair on my body stand up.
How many hairs on your body do you have, small boy?
The figure stood there, watching me. Finally, after what seemed like forever, he said it. A simple phrase, but said in a way only a madman could speak. He said, "Go to sleep." I let out a scream, and that's what sent him at me. He pulled up a knife, aiming at my heart. He jumped on top of my bed. I fought him back. I kicked, I punched, I rolled around, trying to knock him off me. That's when my dad busted in. The man threw the knife. It went into my dad's shoulder. The man probably would have finished him off if one of my neighbors hadn't alerted the police. They drove into the parking lot and ran towards the door. The man turned and ran down the hallway. I heard a smash, like glass breaking.
Who's they?
Yes.
They drove into the parking lot. Who is they?
The police, I can only presume. They got there really fast.
All right, go on.
As I came out of my room, I saw that the window was pointing towards the back of the house was broken. I looked out it to see him vanish into the distance. I can tell you one thing. I will never forget that face. Those cold, evil eyes. And that
four of them.
No, it was a pair of two.
Oh,
Pair of two cold, evil eyes and that psychotic smile. They will never leave my head.
The eyes and smile were in your head?
They were.
Do I know what the twist is at the end? Are you the killer?
They were in my head. That's all I can say at this time.
All right. Well, so that was interesting.
Police are still on the look for this man. If you see anyone that fits the description in this story, please contact your local police department.
Jeff and his family had just moved into a new neighborhood. His dad had gotten a promotion at work, and they thought it would be best to live in one of those fancy neighborhoods. Jeff and his brother Lou couldn't complain, though. A new, better house. What was not to love? As they were getting unpacked, one of their neighbors came by.
"Hello!"
she said.
"I'm Barbara! I live across the street from you. Well, I just wanted to introduce myself and introduce my son!"
She turns around and calls her son over.
"Billy, these are our new neighbors!"
Billy said hi and ran back in to play in his yard.
"Well,"
said Jeff's mom,
"I'm Margaret, and this is my husband Peter and my two sons Jeff and Lou."
Well, they each introduced themselves.
They each introduced themselves after their mother introduced them?
That's what I said.
That seems a little redundant.
Who's telling this story, okay?
I guess you and a cast of thousands. Go on.
You got it.
All right.
Okay, so then Barb invited them to her son's birthday. Jeff and his brother were about to object when their mother said that they would love to. When Jeff and his family are done packing, Jeff went up to his mom.
When is this happening? The tenses seem...
It's currently happening in the past.
All right. Good.
Or it will be.
"Mom, why would you invite us to some kid's party? If you hadn't noticed, I'm not some dumb kid."
"Jeff,"
said his mother.
We just moved here. We should show that we want to spend time with our neighbors. Now we're going to the party, and that's final.
Jeff started to talk, but stopped himself, knowing that he couldn't do anything. Whenever his mom said something, it was final. He walked up to his room and plopped down on his bed. He sat there looking at his ceiling when suddenly he got a weird feeling. Not so much a pain, but a weird feeling. He dismissed it as some random feeling.
All right, hold on. It was weird.
Yes.
And it wasn't pain.
You heard correctly.
What was it?
It was weird.
But it was also random.
And a feeling.
All right. So there's no. Like,
listen, I cannot express in strong enough terms that what he felt was a feeling.
Is this a euphemism for something? Because he's a teenager. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay, well, you go ahead and think whatever you want to think.
I have a follow-up question from an earlier conversation. Why is Margaret and Jeff's voices, like, are they not actually related? Do they not come from the same part of the country?
I did not do a genealogy test on them.
What happened to your voice just now?
Nothing.
Go on.
All right. So he dismissed it as just some random feeling. The feeling that he had.
That wasn't pain, right.
Correct. He heard his mother call down to him to get his stuff, and he walked down to get it. The next day, Jeff walked downstairs to get breakfast and got ready for school. As he sat there, eating his breakfast, he once again got that feeling.
Could it be hunger?
It's possible.
Gas.
I am not at this moment prepared to say whether or not it was or was not gas, the feeling that he had. But this time, it was stronger.
It's irrelevant not knowing what it was. Unless I know what the feeling is, this part of the story is just a stronger feeling. What if it was...
Okay, well, just listen and maybe we'll find more evidence.
No, that's good.
All right. Well, this time, it gave him a slight... tugging pain.
It wasn't pain!
No, but the feeling gave him pain.
All right.
The feeling itself was not pain.
But it gave him pain. Okay.
But he once again dismissed it. As he and Lou finished breakfast, they walked down to the bus stop. They sat there waiting for the bus, and then, all of a sudden, some kid on a skateboard jumped over them, only inches above their laps.
Hey, what the hell?
They both jumped in surprise, was the rest of my line. The kid landed and turned back to them. He kicked his skateboard up and caught it with his hands. Not his teeth, his hands.
Yeah.
The kid seemed to be about 12, 1 year younger than Jeff.
All right, good. They seemed about exactly 12. Got it. Wonderful.
He wears a Gap shirt and ripped blue jeans.
He wears this currently.
Yes.
So skateboard kid makes it, right? Mm. That's what I'm learning from this.
He will have made it.
All right.
Before.
Good. Can we hear something from skateboard kid?
Well, I don't know. Let's see.
Well, well, well. Looks like we got some new meat here.
Suddenly, two other kids appeared. One was super skinny, and the other was huge. Those are distinguishing characteristics. Make sure you pay attention.
Well, since you're new here, I'd like to introduce ourselves. Over there is Keith.
Jeff and Lou looked over to the skinny kid. That's the one that was named Keith. He had a dopey face that you would expect a sidekick to have.
And he's Troy.
They looked over at the fat kid. Talk about a tub of lard. This kid looked like he hadn't exercised since he was crawling.
Narrator?
Yes, sir.
I'm just putting out something. You seem to be passing a lot of judgment on two what I could only assume are secondary characters of the story, since they haven't had a line yet. But you've given us literally no insight on any of the other characters, including the person who is named... you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I don't think you know that his name is Randy yet.
What? No.
Come to think of it.
Well, no, I meant Jeff.
What,
you,
Jeff?
You talk about Jeff a little. Jeff.
You want to know something?
And we're kind of vague.
I'm not entirely sure, but I think I'm talking from Jeff's point of view.
Are you?
I don't know. I really don't know.
All right. Well, let's continue with this.
All right.
And see if it gets any less confusing.
I'm just waiting for a chime so I can turn the page.
And I...
said the first kid.
Am Randy.
Ah.
Now, for all the kids in this neighborhood, there's a small price for bus fare, if you catch my drift.
And which, when are we exactly? What is this set? When did this happen?
Mm-hmm.
Was this 1930s Brooklyn?
This was many years in the future.
But currently, also.
Yes.
Good. Great. Good on the tenses for this.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Well, Lou stood up, ready to punch the lights out of the kid's eyes. Let's try that again. That was kind of awkward.
No, that's the way it's on the paper. But
no, I get it. But okay, let me see here. I'm not used to this kind of sentence structure. This is why I don't think these are my words. Lou stood up, ready to punch the lights out of the kid's eyes, when one of his friends pulled a knife on him.
A couple questions.
I didn't know Lou had friends there either.
Yeah, that's my first question. The second question was, punch the lights out of the kid's eyes.
Yes, sir.
At best I can give you, he was going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best I could do.
That's my assumption. I also assume that the kid is a jack-o'-lantern.
The one, all right.
Yeah.
So this is completely unhelpful.
This is as new
Will there
to me
be
as
an additional narrator at some point?
It's entirely possible.
All right, let's
it
bank
may
on
already
that.
Have happened.
Let's bank on that.
Disc, disc, disc. I had hoped you would be more cooperative, but it seems we must do this the hard way.
The kid walked up to Lou and took his wallet out of his pocket. Jeff got that feeling again. Now it was truly strong. A burning sensation.
Finally!
He stood up, but Lou gestured him to sit down. Jeff ignored him and walked up to the kid.
Listen here, you little punk. Give back my bro's wallet or else.
Randy put the wallet in his pocket and pulled out his own knife.
Wait, hold on. Randy took Lou's wallet out of his pocket? I thought Randy was taking his own wallet out. The way you said it, it made it seem like Randy was handing over cash, or at least opening his wallet ready to accept cash from Lou. But he put his hands in Lou's pocket and took out his wallet. Is that what I'm gathering here?
That certainly is one possible reading of things I may or may not have said.
God. All right. Go on.
Oh, and what will you do?
Just as he finished the sentence, Jeff popped the kid in the nose. As Randy reached for his face, Jeff grabbed the kid's wrist and broke it. Randy screamed, and Jeff grabbed the knife from his hand. Troy and Keith rushed Jeff, but Jeff was too quick. He threw Randy to the ground. Keith lashed out at him, but Jeff ducked and stabbed him in the arm. Keith dropped his knife and fell to the ground screaming. Troy rushed him too, but Jeff didn't even need the knife. He just punched Troy straight in the stomach, and Troy went down. As he fell, he puked all over. Lou could do nothing but look in amazement at Jeff.
Jeff, how did you...
That was all he said. They saw the bus coming, and they knew they'd be blamed for the whole thing, largely because it was they who did it. So they started running as fast as they could. As they ran, they looked back and saw the bus driver rushing over to Randy and the others. As Jeff and Lou made it to school, they didn't dare tell what happened. All they did was sit and listen.
Well, it's school, so I guess that's fine.
Lou just thought of that as his brother beating up a few kids. But Jeff knew it was more. It was something scary. As he got that feeling, he felt how powerful it was. The urge to just hurt someone.
So anger and burning is the feeling. Burning anger.
Yeah, I guess.
I would call that rage, in case you were looking for a word later on.
I'm good, thank you.
If this thing goes to, let's say, a second draft.
I'm good, thank you.
All right, no, great.
He didn't like how it sounded, the word rage. That's why he didn't have me use it. But he couldn't help feeling happy. Happy rage.
All right.
Happy rage.
Good.
happy rage.
Just please continue this.
He felt that strange feeling go away and stay away for the entire day of school. Even as he walked home due to the whole thing near the bus stop, and how now he probably wouldn't be taking the bus anymore.
It's a major portion of the story about his bus routine?
You'll just have to wait and have seen. He felt happy.
What the hell is he feeling?
Happy.
We have a third person narrator describing all of this, which is not clear as to why I know all this, but fine. At least give me insight on the character's feelings.
Happy.
All right. As of now. Not burning or the other thing.
Rage. A little bit of burning, maybe.
All right.
Well, when he got home, his parents asked him how his day was. And he said, in a somewhat ominous voice,
"It was wonderful."
Well, the next morning, he heard a knock at his front door. He walked down to find two police officers at the door. His mother... The front door.
Yeah, all right.
I said that.
Twice, yeah.
Yeah. Continue. Well, his mother was looking back at him with an angry look.
"Jeff, these officers tell me that you attacked three kids. That it wasn't regular fighting. That they were stabbed. Stabbed, son!"
Jeff's gaze fell to the floor, showing his mother that it was true.
"Mom, they were the ones who pulled the knife on me and Lou."
"Son,"
said one of the cops,
"we found three kids. Two stabbed, one having a bruise on his stomach, and we have witnesses proving that you fled the scene. Now what does that tell us?"
Jeff knew it was no use. He could say him and Lou had been attacked.
Yeah, he could say that.
He could, because he had bad grammar. But then there was no proof it was not them who attacked first.
All right.
They couldn't say that they weren't fleeing, because truth be told, they were. So Jeff couldn't defend himself, or Lou, who had done nothing.
"Son, call down your brother."
Jeff couldn't do it, since it was him who beat up all the kids.
So Jeff could not do this? He couldn't call his brother? Or could he not do another thing? Jeff, do you have a line here?
"Sir, it was me. I'm the one who beat up the kids."
He couldn't let his brother take the blame. Got it.
"Lou tried to hold me back, but he just couldn't stop me." Well,
technically, he didn't even try to stop you, but go on. Yeah.
The cop looked at his partner, and they both nod. And they both nod.
Did they both nod?
They will have.
Good. Good.
"Well, kid, looks like a year in juvie."
"Wait. Yeah, wait."
Oh, wait a minute. Why is the cop, or the cop's partner possibly, the one who puts, like, that? You can't just be sentenced to juvie.
Well, that's a fair point. Let's hear what Lou had to say again.
"Wait,"
said Lou. They all looked up to see him holding a knife. The officers pulled their guns and locked them on Lou.
"It was me. I beat up those little punks. Have the marks to prove it."
He lifted up his sleeves to reveal cuts and bruises, as if he was in a struggle.
"Son, you just put that knife down."
So I take it that Jeff and Lou are white.
Because they weren't shot immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think we ought to cut this, but nope. Whatever. We're just going ahead. "All right," said the officer. Lou held up the knife and dropped it to the ground. He put his hands up and walked over to the cops.
"No, Lou, it was me. I did it."
If Lou has all these defensive marks on him, it seems like there's a pretty good case for self-defense. Nope, we're not doing this? All right.
Jeff had tears running down his face.
"Poor bro. Trying to take the blame for what I did? Well, take me away."
The police led Lou out to the patrol car.
"Lou, tell them it was me. Tell them. I was the one who beat up those kids."
Jeff's mother put her hands on his shoulders.
"Jeff, please, you don't have to lie. We know it's Lou. You can stop."
Why do they know it's Lou?
"We just do, you know? He said so. We gotta trust the child and not Jeff."
Jeff watched helplessly as the cop car speeds off with Lou inside. A few minutes later, Jeff's dad pulled into the driveway. Seeing Jeff's face and knowing something was wrong.
Son, what is it?
All right, hold on. First of all, Jeff's dad's name is Jeff's dad.
What can I say? He was born to be Jeff's father.
So Margaret and Jeff's dad got married, and then they had a kid named Jeff.
I can get the marriage certificate if you'd like.
I don't need to see the marriage certificate. That would show a bunch of pre-planning I don't believe anyone involved in this story has ever considered.
Well, you believe whatever you want, son.
All right.
Fact of the matter is, Jeff couldn't answer. His vocal cords were strained from crying.
He hadn't cried yet.
Instead, Jeff's mother walked to his father inside to break the bad news to him as Jeff wept in the driveway. After an hour or so, Jeff walked back into the house, seeing that his parents were both shocked, sad, and disappointed. He couldn't look at them.
So he just got the impression from listening.
He couldn't see how they thought of Lou when it was his fault. He just went to sleep, trying to get the whole thing off his mind. 2 days went by.
Wow.
With no word from Lou at JDC.
That doesn't seem reasonable at all. Are these actual cops?
No friends to hang out with. Nothing but sadness and guilt. That is, until Saturday, when Jeff is woke up by his mother with a happy, sunshiny face.
Are we currently moving into, like, present tense? Saturday is when he got woke up? Or yes, is it still in the past?
Yes, we were.
Oh, I lost the window then. All right, well, let's hear what Margaret, a human female with a name, has to say.
Jeff! It's the day!
The day!
The day!
The very
that day
one.
Is today!
She said so as she opened up the curtains, let light flood into the room.
What? What's today?
Asked Jeff as he stirs awake.
Why, it's Billy's party!
He was now fully awake.
That was an abrupt... Thank you for delineating that. That was great.
Mom, you're joking, right? You don't expect me to go to some kid's party after...
There was a long pause.
Oh my God!
Jeff, we both know what happened. I think this party could be the thing that brightens those past days. Now get dressed.
Where is your child, woman?
I don't know. I don't care. He's probably fine. He stabs the people. He's dead to me.
All right.
Jeff's mother walked out of the room and downstairs to get ready herself. He fought himself to get up.
He was awake. You made the point of saying it. That's the only reason why that upsets me. I'm sorry. Continue.
He picked out a random shirt and pair of jeans and walked downstairs. He saw his mother and father all dressed up, his mother in a dress and his father in a suit.
Good choice.
He thought, why would they ever wear such fancy clothes to a kid's party?
Son, is that all you're gonna wear?
Said Jeff's mom.
Better than wearing too much.
What?
He said. His mother pushed down the feeling to yell at him and hid it with a smile.
Now, Jeff, we may be overdressed, but this is how you want to go if you want to make an impression.
Said his father. Jeff grunted and went back up to his room.
Ugh, I don't have any fancy clothes!
He yelled down the stairs.
Just pick out something!
Called his mother.
Oh, this is tedious.
He looked around in his closet for what he would call fancy. He found a pair of black dress pants he had for special occasions and an undershirt. An undershirt being the fanciest thing he owned. He couldn't find a shirt to go with it, though. He looked around and found only striped and patterned shirts.
What the hell is this?
Well, you see, striped and patterned shirts are not technically shirts. None of which went with those dress pants, anyway. He found a white hoodie and put it on.
All right.
Oh, you're wearing that?
They both said. His mother looked at her watch.
Oh, no time to change. Let's just go.
She said as she herded Jeff and his father out the door. They crossed the street over to Barbara and Billy's house. They knocked on the door, and at it appeared that Barbara, just like his parents, way overdressed. As they walked inside, all Jeff could see were adults, no kids.
Oh, the kids kids are out in the yard. Jeff, how about you go and meet some of them?
Said Barbara.
Listen, I know I've been I've been interrupting a lot, but and I want you to finish your story. I just would like to see a lot less of Barbara if we could arrange that. Just like I could do with like 100% less Barbara in this.
Jeff walked outside to a yard of kids. They were running around in weird cowboy costumes and shooting each other with plastic guns. He might as well be standing in a Toys R Us. Suddenly, a kid came up to him and handed him a toy gun and hat.
Hey, wanna play?
He said.
No, kid, I'm way too old for this stuff.
The kid looked at him with that weird puppy dog face.
The weird puppy dog
face? The weird puppy dog, you know, like a chihuahua.
Oh, all right.
Please?
Said the kid.
Fine.
Said Jeff. He put on the hat and started to pretend to shoot at the kids. At first, he thought it was totally ridiculous. But then he started to actually have fun.
That's good.
It might not have been super cool, but it was the first time he had done something that took his mind off of Lou. So he played with the kids for a while, until he heard a noise. A weird rolling noise. Then it hit him.
Was it weird or random? The rolling noise.
Weird.
Oh, okay. So the source might be helpful.
Then it hit him.
Huh?
Randy, Troy, and Keith all jumped over the fence on their skateboards.
The skateboards hit him? No.
Jeff dropped the fake gun and ripped off the hat.
Wow.
Randy looked at Jeff with a burning hatred.
See? Burning hatred. It works.
Well, hello, Jeff, is it?
He said.
We have some unfinished business.
Jeff saw his bruised nose.
I think we're even. I beat the crap out of you, and you got my brother sent to JDC.
Doesn't really feel like that's even or fair at all, but all right.
Randy got an angry look in his eyes.
Oh no, I don't go for even, I go for winning. You may have kicked our asses that one day, but not today.
As he said that, Randy rushed at Jeff. They both fell to the ground. Randy punched Jeff in the nose, and Jeff grabbed him by the ears and headbutted him. Jeff pushed Randy off him, and both rose to their feet. Kids were screaming, and parents were running out of the house. Troy and Keith both pulled guns out of their pockets.
Oh, all right.
Nobody interrupts, or guts will fly,
they said in unison.
Well, barely.
Randy pulled out a knife on Jeff and stabbed it into his shoulder. Jeff screamed and fell to his knees.
Ah!
Randy started kicking him in the face. After three kicks, Jeff grabs his foot and twists it, causing Randy to fall to the ground. Jeff stood up and walked towards the back door. Troy grabbed him.
Need some help?
He picks Jeff up by the back of the collar and throws him through the patio door.
All right.
As Jeff tries to stand, he is kicked down to the ground. Randy repeatedly starts kicking Jeff until he starts to cough up blood.
Come on, Jeff. Fight me.
He picks Jeff
picked.
Up. He picks Jeff up and throws
Threw.
Him into the kitchen. Randy sees
Saw.
A bottle of vodka on his... Damn you. This is highly dramatic. You
yeah.
keep your mouth shut.
Oh, no.
Randy sees a bottle of vodka on the counter and smashes Smashed. The glass over Jeff's head.
Fight!
He throws Jeff back into the living room.
Come on, Jeff! Look at me!
Wait, was Jeff not looking at him this entire time?
Jeff glances up, his face riddled with blood.
I was the one who got your brother sent to JDC, whatever that is. And now you're just gonna sit here and let him rot in there for a whole year? You should be ashamed!
You know what? Randy does have a point.
Jeff starts to get up.
Oh, finally! You stand and fight!
Jeff is now to his feet.
What? Come on! That's well, not even any kind of... What?
Blood and vodka on his face. Once again, he gets that strange feeling.
Oh, the one that's heartbreaking.
The
right?
one in which he hasn't felt for a while.
Finally, sure. he's up. Finally.
Says Randy as he runs at Jeff. That's when it happens. Something inside Jeff snaps. His psyche is destroyed.
Really?
All rational thinking is gone. All he can do is kill.
Done.
He grabs Randy and pile drives him to the ground.
No, keep doing this. I'll be back in a minute. I'm just going to get a drink.
He gets on top of him and punches him straight in the heart.
Right.
The punch causes Randy's heart to stop.
And I'm back in.
As Randy gasps for breath, which you have a hard time doing when your heart has stopped.
Yeah.
Jeff hammers down on him, punch after punch. Blood gushes from Randy's body until he takes one final breath and dies. Everyone is looking at Jeff now. The parents, the crying kids, even Troy and Keith. Although they easily break their gaze and point their guns at Jeff.
Question. Just to clarify, so they're not looking at their target and just pointing their their live ammunition to Jeff.
Correct.
All right.
Jeff sees the guns. Now I want to point out that is the possessive form of the word see.
Right.
S-E-E apostrophe S. He
of course,
sees.
That's how you would do it. Yeah.
Sees the guns trained on him and runs for the stairs. As he runs, Troy and Keith let out fire on him, each shot missing.
They fire on him is what they did.
Jeff runs up the stairs.
If they had looked at him
and
then break their
gaze. Troy
and
Keith follow up behind.
Right.
As they let out their final rounds of bullets, Jeff ducks into the bathroom. He grabs the towel rack and rips it off the wall. Troy and Keith race in, knives ready. Troy swings his knife at Jeff, who backs away and bangs the towel rack into Troy's face. Troy goes down hard, and now all that's left is Keith. He is more agile than Troy, though, and ducks when Jeff swings the towel rack. He dropped the knife and grabbed Jeff by the neck. He pushed him into the wall. A thing of bleach fell.
A thing of bleach? All right. So the average unit of measurement of bleach, a thing.
A thing of bleach fell down on top of him from the top shelf. It burnt both of them, and they both started to scream. Jeff wiped his eyes
as
best he could.
You are aware that bleach is an acid, right? Like, it... Right?
That doesn't change the facts.
All right.
Jeff wiped his eyes as best he could. He pulled back the towel rack and swung it straight into Keith's head. As he lay there, bleeding to death, he let out an ominous smile.
Technically, you don't let out smiles, really. You have a smile, you know. You don't let it out. It's not like a gas.
I thought you would have been more worried about who was lying there bleeding out.
Wait, who was lying there bleeding out?
He was.
As he lay there bleeding out, he let out an ominous smile. That's what you said?
Yes.
So, are we talking about Keith here, or are we talking about Jeff?
Yes, sir.
They're both... How did Jeff get...
Hmm?
Did he get shot?
I'm sorry, I'm not following you.
Is there anybody else who could help with this?
What?
What's so funny?
Asked Jeff.
All right, well then I guess he's there.
Keith pulled out a lighter and switched it on.
What? What's funny?
He said...
Is that you're covered in bleach and alcohol.
I don't get it. Guess you have to be there. I don't know.
Drenched in the highly flammable bleach, Jeff's eyes widened as Keith threw the lighter at him. As soon as the flame made contact with him, the flames ignited the alcohol in the vodka. While the alcohol burned him, the bleach bleached his skin.
No, wait. We gotta dial this back. None of those things would happen. At all, like you say.
And yet, they did.
Did they?
Jeff let out a terrible screech as he caught on fire. He tried to roll out the fire, but it was no use.
Like roll out the fire like a transformer would? Roll out.
Yeah. The alcohol had made him a walking inferno.
That is not at all. What proof was that vodka? Also, how much was on him? Why would the bleach bleach his skin while he was burning?
Wasn't the vodka bottle downstairs? Why is it in the bathroom upstairs? These are questions for the ages.
All right.
He ran down the hall and fell down the stairs. Everybody started screaming as they saw Jeff, now a man on fire, dropped to the ground, nearly dead. The last thing Jeff saw was his mother and the other parents trying to extinguish the flame. That's... when he passed out.
That's also when all this happened in the past, despite most of the fighting sequences happening in the present. Tensing is... there's an issue with tensing
yes,
in this.
It may someday have been.
All right. I'll try not to focus on this anymore, but it's I'm gonna get a drink. Is that okay? Can you keep doing this while I get a drink? All right, cool. Thanks.
When Jeff woke, he had a cast wrapped around his face. He couldn't see anything, but he felt a cast on his shoulder and stitches all over his body. He tried to stand up, but he realized that there was some tube in his arm. All right. And when he tried to get up, it fell out, and a nurse rushed in.
I don't think you can get out of bed just yet.
Was that Jeff? It sounded like Jeff.
I never said it was a female nurse. I don't know why. Well, whatever.
All right.
She said, Oh, now I did.
There you go. All right, we're good.
She said as she put him back in his bed and reinserted the tube. Jeff sat there with no vision, no idea of what his surroundings were. Although he figured it was a hospital, because there was a nurse. Finally, after hours, he heard his mother.
Honey, are you okay?
She asked. Jeff couldn't answer, though. His face was covered.
Yeah, you went through this.
And he was unable to speak.
Yep.
Oh, honey, I have great news. I think there was supposed to be a break here.
Sorry.
It's all good, Margaret, Jeff's mother.
Oh, honey, I have great news. After all the witnesses told the police that Randy confessed to trying to attack you, they decided to let Lou go.
Randy confessed of trying to attack you? Yep. You sure you want to...
No, he only tried.
Is that a Southern expression?
He only tried. He didn't succeed. Yeah. There was no attack.
Randy confess after he died?
Wait, I recall Randy... I don't know why I'm getting involved in this, but I do recall Randy actually announcing that he was the person who was... responsible for getting... Like, Randy seemed really concerned with Lou. Go on, take it away, narrator.
This made Jeff almost bolt up, stopping halfway, remembering the tube coming out of his arm and all the bandages covering him.
He'll be out by tomorrow, and then you two will be able to be together again.
Jeff's mother hugs Jeff and says her goodbyes.
Hugged? How hard is it?
I thought you were staying out of this.
I'm sorry.
The next couple of weeks were those where Jeff was visited by his family. Then came the day when his bandages were to be removed. His family were all there to see it, what he would look like. As the doctors unwrapped the bandages from Jeff's face, everyone was on the edge of their seats. They waited until the last bandage holding the cover over his face was almost removed.
I get it, because at first I was like, why is there a... the tense reveal here when bandages gradually get reduced, but if there's a cover there too. Clever.
Let's hope for the best,
said the doctor. He quickly pulls the cloth, letting the rest fall from Jeff's face. Jeff's mother screams at the sight of his face.
Classic.
Or not. Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought she did. Lou and Jeff's dad stare awestruck at his face. Jeff, do you have any reaction to that whatsoever at all? Just
what?
Whatever feelings you might have.
What happened to my face?
Jeff said. He rushed out of bed and ran to the bathroom. He looked in the mirror and saw the cause of the distress.
Wait, they were just, first of all, they suspected there would be something wrong with his face when they put the bandages on, and then there was an unbandaging ceremony where all his... family was invited, but there was no mirror for him. He had to run out of the room to go to the bathroom to check this.
Yes.
All right.
His face, it's horrible.
It currently, all right.
His lips were burnt to a deep shade of red.
That's not how burning works.
His face was turned into a pure white color.
Oh, it's from the bleach and the burning?
And his hair singed from brown to black.
Not at all.
He slowly put his hand to his face. It had a sort of leathery feel to it now. He looked back at his family, then back at the mirror.
Jeff?
Said Lou.
It's not that bad.
Liar.
Not that bad.
Said Jeff.
It's perfect.
Oh.
His family were equally surprised. Jeff started laughing uncontrollably as his parents noticed that his left eye and hand were twitching.
Jeff, are you okay?
Okay. I've never felt more happy.
Look at me. This face goes perfectly with me.
You know what? I'm going to go out and say it. I'm happy for Jeff. It's an issue for teenagers to come to terms with what they look like, and I'm glad he found his him.
Well,
you know, he did him.
Well, Jeff couldn't stop laughing.
Good.
He stroked his face, feeling it, looking at it in the mirror.
All right.
What caused this? Well, you may recall that when Jeff was fighting Randy,
seriously,
something in his mind, his sanity snapped.
His mind, now, that's where he keeps his sanity.
Now he was left as a crazy killing machine. That is, his parents didn't know.
No, screw you. What does that sentence mean? Do it again.
That's what it says. Now he was left as a crazy killing machine. That is, his parents didn't know.
Sure.
Doctor?
Said Jeff's mom.
Is my son all right, you know, in the head?
Oh, yes. This behavior is typical for patients that have taken very large amounts of painkillers.
Laughing hysterically, touching your face and saying it's perfect.
If his behavior doesn't change in a few weeks, bring him back here and we'll give him a psychological test.
You could just do that now.
Oh, thank you, Doctor.
All right.
Jeff's mother went over to Jeff.
Jeff, sweetie, it's time to go.
Jeff looks away from the mirror, his face still formed into a crazy smile.
Okay, Mommy.
Okay. Millennials.
His mother took him by the shoulder and took him to get his clothes.
This is what came in,
said the lady at the desk. Jeff's mom looked down to see the black dress pants and white hoodie her son wore. Now they were clean of blood and now stitched together.
Who did this?
Jeff's mother led him to his room and made him put his clothes on.
Was that literally the only outfit he had? It was in a fire. It was in a bleach fire.
And they fixed them. Then they left, not knowing that this was their final day of life.
Whoa. What? Who? Dial that back a bit?
No, it's called foreshadowing.
That not at all foreshadowing. That is telling me what's going to happen.
It's foreshadowing by means of telegraph. Later that night, Jeff's mother woke to a sound coming from the bathroom, which was odd because it was usually soundproof. It sounded as if someone was crying. She slowly walked over to see what it was. When she looked into the bathroom, she saw a horrendous sight. Jeff had taken a knife and carved a smile into his cheeks.
Jeff, what are you doing?
Asked his mother. Jeff looked over to his mother.
I couldn't keep smiling, Mommy. It hurt after a while. Now I can smile forever.
I have several issues with this, including the fact that he's psychotic enough to carve a smile into his face, but like, the mild pain of holding a smile was too uncomfortable.
Well, see, that was when Jeff's mother noticed his eyes, ringed in black.
Jeff! Your eyes!
They're ringed in black, yeah.
His eyes were seemingly never closing.
I couldn't see my face. I got tired and my eyes started to close. I burned out the eyelids so I could forever see myself. My new face.
Jeff's mother slowly started to back away.
Wait. Before she backs away completely out of the room. That's not how eyelids work, or eyes. You can't see yourself. That's not... Did he burn his... This was an unrelated burning from the initial burning?
Jeff's mother slowly started to back away, seeing that her son was going insane.
What's wrong, Mommy? Aren't I beautiful?
Yes, son,
she said.
Yes, you are. Let me go get Daddy so he can see your face.
She ran into the room and shook Jeff's dad from his sleep.
Honey, get the gun!
She stopped as she saw Jeff in the doorway, holding a knife.
Mommy, you lied!
That's the last thing they hear as Jeff rushes them with the knife, gutting both of them. His brother Lou woke up, startled by some noise. I can only assume it was unrelated. He didn't hear anything else, so he just shut his eyes and tried to go back to sleep. As he was on the border of slumber, he got the strangest feeling that someone was watching him.
Another random strange feeling?
He looked up before Jeff's hand covered his mouth. He slowly raised the knife, ready to plunge it into Lou.
Oh, Jeff slowly...
Lou thrashed here and there, trying to escape Jeff's grip. Jeff said,
"Just go to sleep."
Oh, that was a callback to the first story.
I think we had that right in the beginning. That's weird.
That's interesting. Hmm. So, is there like who's this is supposed to? This is real. This all really happened. And this all
it will have had happened.
Good. And the narrator of the story is exactly whom?
Yes.
All right. The little boy who was explaining, a lot of stuff happened in people's heads that I heard.
Maybe.
So, all right. Okay, cool. So this was great. Is this like a final draft? This is the last time? This is going to be published soon? Or
you're That's what on? Happened.
Yeah, this isn't like, you're going to work on this a little bit before this goes out into the internet.
It was what is happening.
This has already been published?
It may have. In the future.
All right.
Yesterday.
All right, then. The hell's a creepypasta? What is that? What is that? Is some kind of a... Is that a food? What's happening here?
It usually is. What?
Do you really want to know what creepypastas are?
Very spooky spaghetti. This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.
All right, this was f***ing garbage.